You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
All right.
Get your microphone about like that.
Right there?
Yeah. Tommy Starr hanging out with you on the Sound Atlas. And with me today on the Sound Atlas is Olivia Franks. Hello, Olivia.
Hi.
You're not originally from Kentucky, are you?
No, I'm not.
Where are you originally from?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. So the question is, how did you get to Kentucky? Aaron. Did you know Aaron? Was he up there in New Jersey or was he down here in Kentucky?
Nope. Randomly met on Facebook, actually.
You guys met on Facebook. You're in New Jersey. He's in Kentucky. You guys met on Facebook. He said, hey, why don't you come down to Kentucky? And here you are.
To put it short, yeah.
So how long have you been in Kentucky?
Since 2012.
2012. So yep. You've been here a while.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were involved in some bands up there. He was involved with some stuff down here.
I didn't have a band or anything because where I lived, you know, nobody cared about metal. I mean, my one friend, I got her to forced her, put her in a room and made her listen. But like, I gave her some, I did this to a lot of my friends. I don't know how they still talk to me, but like, I would give them a stack of CDs or something because they would make the mistake of being like, oh, what are you listening to? And I'd be like, well, I got a list in my pocket. And they're like, you know, I got her to listen to Metal Church and stuff. And she liked Slayer and stuff. Nobody that was dedicated musician or, you know, played the same instruments that I was looking to form a band with. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as soon as he said he had a band, he was like, oh, it sucks. And usually, you know, when people send you a band or whatever, you're like, thanks for the link. But I listened to it and I was like, that's pretty good, actually. Yeah, and yeah. I you don't really know me now, but I was way worse of a snob back then with metal.
Oh.
So I was like, wow, I actually like this. And he was like, oh, you're just being nice. I was like, no, I'm not. Uh-huh. I would tell you.
Yeah, yeah. So you guys kind of had a mutual interest in metal. You came down. Blood Curse eventually got together.
Yep.
So, you know, a little bit about Blood Curse. You guys have been together for how many years? A couple of years?
2016 band formed.
Yeah.
Or that's when we started playing shows. Mm-hmm. That's when we had, I guess, a solid lineup, like somebody to play shows with us and everything.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as shows, how many shows have you guys played now for the past couple of years? Are you pretty heavy with the dates, or are they kind of sporadic?
They were, you know, they came pretty well for a while, and then it was sporadic once, you know, the other bassist left, and we got our friend and producer of our album and bassist, Scott Briggs, to play.
Let's talk about that. You did have a former member. I saw you guys earlier in the year. You came through Bowling Green, played the A-Frame.
Mm-hmm.
I was at that show. You had a gentleman in the band then, no longer in the band. Let's go ahead and throw his name out there. Some folks probably know him.
Micah.
Okay. So he's not with the band anymore. So do you have a permanent bass player now? Are you guys just kind of being helped out? How's that going?
Well, at first we thought that Scott was just helping us out because he's like really heavily into like black metal.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes a lot of stuff, but his main interest is like black metal, not like the shitty stuff, like actual good black metal. But,
gotcha.
You know, I'm more into, obviously, old thrash because my fanzine's name's Thrash Dance. But
that's
like,
right. We're going to talk about that too.
All righty.
Yeah.
But, you know, I figured he wouldn't be into what we were doing because it's on the lighter side of heavy metal, just like traditional heavy metal.
Sure.
But he likes it, and I thought that was cool. And at first, we thought we were bothering him, but eventually, he was like, you're not bothering me. I like it. So he is he's bassist now.
So he's an official member of the band.
Yes.
Let's remind everybody of the band that he was in prior to you guys. Is that band still around?
Oh, no, they're still going. Okay. I think they're putting together a new album, actually, Fornicus.
Fornicus, that's right. So Fornicus, he's still with Fornicus, and he's also helping you guys out. And he is the one that's, is he the producer of the music you guys have been working on?
Yes, he mixes and does all that stuff.
Now, when will we see that music? I've been hearing about this music for a while.
October.
Oh, so you definitely have a date coming up.
Yeah, digitally it'll be available, and then we're going to have tapes made, hopefully, and then CDs will come after that because that shit is pricey.
I love that. It is, isn't it?
Yep.
If I had to put a label on Blood Curse, and I don't know if this label's really perfect, but I think it kind of hits it, kind of a new wave of British heavy metal kind of feel.
I take kindly to that because that is... me and Aaron were talking about it not too long ago, and I'd say that's our main influence, but I don't know what I would bring to the band influentially, if that's a word, but, you know, I'm mostly just drums. He does the writing and everything, and then I just like to get behind the kid and do my thing.
Do it to it.
Yes.
Now, of course, the first time, and so far the only time, but I hope I get to see you guys again, that I've seen you, the first thing I thought when I walked in, just visual, is your kit. I thought Motley Crue 1983.
You know, I think that's what, because one day I came home from work and he put the pentagrams on the drum heads. I was like, that's cool. He was like, yeah, and he pointed the poster of Motley Crue from that exact year. And I was like, hey, that's when they were cool.
That's right. That's when they were cool. Yep. Seems like the video shoot for Looks That Kill, I think that's on the drum kit, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. So I thought that for your drum kit, and then... of course, Micah, a little bit reminded me of Cliff Burton, just a little bit, for some reason. I don't know, something about his look. Of course, I knew him a little bit, but something about his look kind of gave me that kind of feel. And then Aaron...
Well, just quick interjection.
Go ahead.
I love Cliff Burton. I'm sorry, Cliff.
But, and then, of course, Aaron, immediately I thought of Dave Mustaine.
If I made a shirt for him, or no, we had to do a disclaimer. We played Legions of Metal in Chicago, and everybody said he looked like Dave Mustaine. And he, I think before he played, he was like, PSA, I'm not Dave Mustaine. Thank you.
You'll be Dave Mustaine Jr. You know, the instruments, like I said, the drum kit, and kind of Aaron's look. I like old school metal too, especially thrash. And then when you started playing, I was like, new wave British heavy metal, and I liked it. And actually, before I saw you guys the first time, I heard the demos that you had up, I guess, on your Bandcamp or something.
Yep. Every time I hear it, I can't listen to that. It's just like, no, I'm not talking about Aaron, because Aaron did a good job.
Yeah,
he's good on guitar, good singing, but my drumming, I was just like, sounds like you put shoes in a dryer.
Well, you know, you were still kind of learning. You were getting it. I mean, even your favorite musicians, I'm sure if you go back to some of their early stuff, you're like, whoa, this is nothing like, you know.
Gene Hoagland.
There you go.
Oh, no. I think he was born.
Well.
Double bass.
I call him Gene Hogleg, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
He's amazing. And I love him with Testament now. We're throwing out a lot of metal. Those that are listening that aren't metal fans, you're going to start looking some stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do yourself a favor and look up some of these bands and some of these names we throw out today.
If you like Gene Hoagland, or if you like anything that is really good thrash, Dark Angel.
Yep, I love Dark Angel.
That was the first band he was in, and I'm sure you know this, he was the roadie for Slayer.
Slayer. He was, really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. Well, we're going to get into metal, because I want to talk to you about metal, but let's wrap up Blood Curse and make sure folks know that you guys do have some music coming out. You say in October.
Yep.
Which, by the time they hear this, it'll be October, about mid-October. Do you think it'll be out by then?
We're shooting for Halloween, actually.
That is just perfect.
Yes.
Okay.
And if you'd like to, I wish we had a backmasking of that, you know, from Trick or Treat, where they play backwards on Halloween.
Yeah.
I wish we had some Sammy Kerr action in there, but we don't.
Well,
but that would be awesome. But yep, Halloween, and following afterwards will be different formats. And if you heard the demo... and you're like, I'm going to go back to listen to Jagpanzer or whatever you're listening to. You know what? It's going to sound a lot better than that stuff. Because I think Scott did a great job, and we worked hard at that, and we practiced. And there are a few new songs on there that I really enjoy, and I think other people will enjoy, too, if they've heard our demo. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, did he do the production work on the Fornicus release, the last one? Well, I mean, that sounds fantastic.
Yes.
So that kind of gives you an idea of what it's going to sound like. Give some web addresses and all that stuff.
Okay, so bandcamp.com or bloodcurse.bandcamp.com. And then if you want to get on Facebook, I think it's facebook.com/you've been cursed. And then, let me see. I'm so used to putting the web addresses on my fanzine stuff. I was about to be like, big heart. No, but not yet.
Yeah.
But, yep, those are the two things you get us at. It's Bandcamp and then Facebook. And stay tuned on there if you'd like to check us out.
That's right. So Blood Curse from Caneyville, Kentucky. How far is Caneyville from here? Is it about an hour? Something like that?
30 minutes.
Oh, it's not... Okay, that's not bad at all.
Yeah.
We got to get you guys back in Bowling Green at some point.
Yeah, I think... I don't know how true this is because, I mean, no offense to Micah, but it came from Micah, and, you know, I'm not sure if he had, you know, issue with the guy or whatever, but he said that somebody told everybody that we were death metal and that they didn't want to have us. I don't know.
You guys are nowhere near death metal.
I don't think that person knows what death metal is.
Yeah. Maybe they're just not really a metal fan, and so just
that's usually how it goes. Oh, you like that screaming stuff, that bullshit, yeah.
I don't really remember Aaron doing much screaming.
No. I don't even think I've actually heard him yell ever. So I don't. There's no truth in that at all. But yeah, we'd love to come back. I mean, it's a short drive. It was a good crowd.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Maybe we can make that happen. Now, let's talk about metal.
All right.
Well, we're going to talk about your fanzine. How old are you?
I'm 24, actually. Think about that.
24 years old. When did you first get into metal? Let me ask you this. Not only when you first, but what is it you saw or heard that you were like, whoa, what's this?
Well, I was, I think, 12 or 13, and I was in my cousin Joseph's basement, and he played drums, and I thought he was awesome ever since I was little, because he shredded on drums. He still does.
Yeah.
But down in his basement, he had giant poster flag, Led Zeppelin, and you know, just all these cool things everywhere that were music. And he had this giant, you know, it was shelves and shelves of CDs. And one day, I think I said, "Could I borrow this Led Zeppelin box set?" He said, "Yeah, sure, go ahead." And then I loved Led Zeppelin, and that was, I don't know, I think that, well, I was obsessed with the Red Hot Chili Peppers for, like, old Red Hot Chili Peppers. Uh-huh. But, you know, I'm going into, like, after I gave the Led Zeppelin back, Joseph said, "I'll give you these." And I said, "Okay." And the first one on top, I remember, was Back to the Start, which was the Megadeth compilation. And then it was Ride the Lightning.
Sure.
There's some Frank Zappa in there, and I love Frank Zappa.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I think I just remember going home and putting in, I think I put in Ride the Lightning first, and I heard that first, that intro to Fight Fire with Fire, and I was like, what the hell is that? And then it started, and I was like, what is that? And I opened it, and I looked at them, and I was like, those are the coolest guys I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that guy right there, he looks particularly badass, was Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out he was dead, and I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Mm-hmm. And then I just, it was like tsunami of metal. I just wanted to go and look up everything that I could. And I remember, I think I wore, I don't know, just like generic pants at the time. But I specifically remember looking at my shoes and looking at my pants and looking at James Hetfield. And I was like, I need to tell your pants, don't I?
Uh-huh.
But like I think that was the moment when I saw them and Metallica and then Megadeth, of course.
Uh-huh.
Marty Friedman is God.
Mm. Marty's an interesting guy. You ever met any of those guys?
I wouldn't call it meet. I went like 2 hours with my cousin Joseph's ex-wife now, who, where we went up there to Ridgewood, New Jersey, which was a good 2 hours from where I'm from, Pensauken.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat in line with some dude who looked like he came off Blue's Clues or something next to me the whole time, talking to me about Dark Angel, and it was weird. But I got there to meet Dave Mustaine, because I bought his book, and he signed it.
Nice.
But I wore my Led Zeppelin shirt, because I knew that was his favorite band, because I'm weirdo, I guess.
No.
And I went up in line, and he was like, "Oh, Led Zeppelin, that's my favorite band." And up until then, I kept it cool, and I was like, "Hey, that's cool." And then I shook his hand, and he signed it, and I walked away, but that was the, I'd love to meet Marty Friedman.
Yeah. Marty's a lot shorter than you'd think.
I think he's about my height, 5'3" or so.
Anytime I've been around him, he's got the, like, gigantic.
You met Marty Friedman?
Oh, yeah.
Please tell me about meeting Marty Friedman.
He's really, really nice, but I couldn't get over how short he was. I don't know, that doesn't matter. I don't care how tall, short.
He does wear those platform shoes.
Yeah, that's the thing. He had those on, and I was like, what's up with these big, crazy shoes? It was him and Richie from Judas Priest. I met them both at the
Richie
same
Faulkner.
Time.
I loved him, Richie Faulkner. He gets a lot of shit, and I think it's stupid.
I don't know why.
Because people are so set in their ways on KK Downing. Like, listen,
KK's great, but KK said, I'm done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And did you hear about when they got, it's blanking on the name, that he produced the albums, he was in Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Sneap. Okay, they got Andy Sneap back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And KK was like, "Well, why didn't you ask me?" And they're like, "Bud, you said you're done.
Yeah.
Go play golf."
Right.
But I thought that was hot. But yeah, I think Richie Faulkner's a really good guitarist, yeah. And you could tell he had some major input on
Absolutely.
The new songs.
Yeah, who knows if they'd even be putting new stuff out if it wasn't for him kind of helping guide that along a little bit with a little bit of that new youthful energy. I absolutely think that he helped out a lot with that.
Definitely. Yeah. And he's not big-headed at all. Like, he's...
Doesn't seem to be, no.
No, I've seen quite a few interviews with him, and I've read stuff, and, you know, I think I'd... Not to say that that means you know somebody, but, I follow him on Facebook, and I see the stuff that he posts, mm-hmm. and seems like a good guy. I think it's very undeserved when people, you know, give him shit for not being K.K. Downing. That's ridiculous.
K.K. Downing's K.K. Downing. He's Richie.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Quick side note, I think Les Binks is the most underrated drummer ever.
There we go.
All right.
You can always insert any of those comments. I'm all about it.
All right.
So you were young. You were like, what do you say, like 12, 13. You discovered Led Zeppelin. And then you were introduced to like Metallica and Megadeth.
I went, this is what I used to do. I used to, trying to think of exactly what I'd do. I would write down all these bands that I would see, and I'd put the album that I wanted to listen to. And once I knew at least three songs off the album by looking at the name, I'd check it off.
Mm-hmm.
And I had pages and pages and pages, because I think there was, I don't know if he's still up there, there's this YouTube channel called Wolfgang von Poser Killer or something, and he had these Metal Gem videos, and mm-hmm. it was like just underrated thrash. And I'd write them all down.
Yeah.
And anything that I particularly thought it sounded great, I'd put an asterisk next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I knew some of my favorite, you know, underground bands, and that's how I even got to interview some of them, and it was great. Well, some of them were great. Some mm-hmm. of them made me just not want to talk to the older musicians, you know?
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes when you get a little close, sometimes that stuff happens, and you think, I felt this way about them before. I wish I would have never met them or had any interaction because it kind of tarnishes that.
Definitely. It made me not want to listen to a certain album.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that used to be one of my favorite albums, and it kind of sucks, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's one you just flip through and go on sometimes. Let's say some folks are listening right now. We got some metal people listening right now. Some of the other folks we may be scared away. That's okay. But the metal, the metal folks that are still with us, some of your favorite, let's say five bands.
Five.
Let's do some of your tops for a minute.
It's going to be kind of generic because...
That's okay.
All right. Black Sabbath.
What's your favorite Black Sabbath album?
Oh, Lord. Oh.
Is it going to be Ozzy or Dio, or you like both?
I love both. I love every singer. I love every era.
You like Tony Martin?
Yes, yes, I do.
Like Glenn Hughes?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good album.
Tony Martin, I think he... That's one person that I feel like everybody overlooks in
Absolutely.
Black Sabbath, because
mm-hmm.
that was a great album.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't...
You're talking Headless Cross?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I actually... You know what? Quick interjection here with that. One day... I used to go over to my cousin Joseph's a lot,
mm-hmm.
and he said his cousin, Matt Hebert, his dad used to work at a radio station back in the 80s, I believe, and mm-hmm. he was getting rid of a bunch of records, and he gave them to Joseph.
Oh, that's nice when they do that.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the best days I remember, because he said, hey, you want to come over and jam? And I was always up for going over Joe's, and I was like, yeah, sure. And he said, yeah, come down my basement. And I walked down the stairs, and there are all these records laid out on the floor. And he gave me, I used to drink Coca-Cola all the damn time. I don't know how I don't have diabetes.
Uh-huh.
But he handed me one, and I was like, whoa. And there was Megadeth, Anthrax, Headless Cross was there. Because that's where I got Headless Cross on vinyl.
Oh, that's hard.
And
to
then,
find.
What did I have? It was, I didn't get Nasty Savage there. But I'm thinking of, there were flyers inserted from the radio station.
Uh-huh.
And it was like the first pressing or whatever, you know, how they give, well, I'm...
Promo with,
I think you might
kits,
know about that, yes, yes.
Stuff like that, promo photos and all that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that stuff's kind of cool as well.
It was awesome, and I got a lot of great albums from that, and I still have them, and I still take great care of them.
That's good.
Thanks, Joe, if you're listening.
So, Black Sabbath, who else?
Whenever I'm put on the spot, I always have
we're
like
putting you on the spot, the spotlight's on you.
Judas Priest, obviously. Right. Love.
Again, your favorite Judas Priest
Okay,
album.
Wait, let's get back to Black Sabbath's favorite album. I think the most influential album to me, the one I always come back to, and I can never get tired of, which probably is a lot of people's other favorite albums, Volume 4 or Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath.
Volume 4 is my favorite, and probably Tomorrow's Dream is my favorite tune that, with Ozzy.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, that used to be, you know, it didn't matter if I was feeling bad or good or in between, that was always a song that I could go to and mm-hmm. just make everything better, I guess.
It's a jammer.
Yes.
Well, since we went back to Sabbath, Dio, out of the few they did with Dio, what's a favorite?
Heaven and Hell.
Heaven and Hell's good. Myself, Mob Rules.
Yeah, but it's so hard to pick. Dehumanizer's great. And
yeah, but the production work on Mob Rules is amazing. Turn Up the Night and Slipping Away.
Yeah, Turn Up the Night.
It's just awesome.
I remember hearing Neon Nights because that's the first track on Heaven and Hell. Mm-hmm. And that is one of my favorite Black Sabbath songs because Dio just came in and he just...
he took it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I know Ozzy didn't like that at the time, obviously, but I do love Ozzy's stuff, too. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, now, we're going to sit here all night. We got to get to it now. Judas Priest.
Judas Priest. All right. Stained Glass.
Wow. So you went way back to the early, super early days.
I love, and Sin After Sin.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
But it's so hard to pick, and then Defenders of the Faith, and...
Well, you jumped right over Point of Entry and Screaming for Vengeance.
Well, you know what? A lot of people don't like Point of Entry, but I really do.
That's my favorite Priest album.
Are you serious? Point of Entry?
Love that
album. Hot Rockin'. It's a great song.
It's great. Yeah.
Yes.
Cool stuff.
That video was odd, but that song was very good.
Yeah, I feel bad for him, all that fire. So we have Black Sabbath, we got Judas Priest, we got three more. Keep going.
I'm going to go with one of the first bands that I discovered in the underground, and they had a very good run with albums is Vicious Rumors. And I was actually going to have an interview with Jeff Thorpe, mm-hmm. the main songwriter. He's been in the band the entire time, mm-hmm. never stopped.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out. I was kind of upset about that, but he was a really nice guy.
Yeah. Well, see, you did go off a little bit because you said generic. Vicious Rumors, definitely not generic because I'm sure a lot of people don't even know who they are.
They are actually touring a lot now, and they did the 30th anniversary of Digital Dictator. Mm-hmm. They're doing that tour right now. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot more people are hearing about them because before when I'd say, people wouldn't know what the hell I was talking about. You know, now it seems like they're, at least in the underground scene, mm-hmm. they're coming up a little bit. But Vicious Rumors, and my favorite album by them is Welcome to the Ball, which Aaron actually got me one year for my birthday, and that's very hard to find on vinyl.
Nice.
That was awesome. Cauldron. Yeah. Newer.
Gods. You like the new album?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's very somber, but I really, you know, they don't give a shit. They just do whatever they want. They're super nice guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think I can think of a song that I don't like by them. Mm-hmm. They're great live. We went to see them in 2016, right? We went to see them in 2016, and they were great live. And Ian, super nice guy.
Cool.
And then, I don't know, I like them because they don't put on, they don't want to fit in. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm not trying to pinpoint any bands now, but it seems like it's a lot about the looks now, you know, wearing, it's one thing if you want to, that's how you dress, mm-hmm. but it's another if you want to dress up, go on stage, and there's even cases of that where it's okay, but you could tell. And, you know, they're just about the music, but you know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about? I feel like it's just... Sometimes, you know, Lee Dorian from Cathedral and Napalm Death and mm-hmm, stuff? Mm-hmm. I just love his reasoning for the turn in Cathedral is because he went from Napalm Death pretty much, you know, being the pinpoint of, now the term is, you know, shat upon, mm-hmm. hardcore metal. At the time, it was evolving from, you know, hardcore punk to what it turned into, and everybody was mad at him. And, you know, they were spitting on him at shows and getting pissed off because he wasn't into hardcore anymore. Mm-hmm, and he started dressing like he's from the 70s to get back at people. And he thought, well, why don't I just go even more crazy? And, you know, sometimes I feel like that because everybody just, it's like a dress code now, you know?
Yeah, I can understand that.
Anyhow, getting back to the five bands. Mm-hmm. Let's see. There's Black Sabbath, Judas Priest, Vicious Rumors, Cauldron.
Yeah, Cauldron, yes.
So that's four, right?
Yeah, four.
Okay, so my fifth one would have to be... Does it have to be metal?
No, absolutely not. It can be anything.
David Bowie.
David Bowie. Okay, so you think that's your top five right there?
Yes, I love David Bowie. But Led Zeppelin, I don't know. It's just so hard to pick five.
What's your top three albums of all time? Or at least your number one album? Is there one record that they said, oh, this is gone tonight? You can have one record.
Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath.
That's the one right there.
I love Black Sabbath. I love those guys. Uh-huh. I mean, everybody knows Ozzy's out there, and he's done some, you know, that reality show. Like, I don't get that. But he probably wasn't even cognizant for that.
Yeah, I'm not overly a fan of that kind of stuff either. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, back in the day, I know he didn't do a lot of writing. Like, Tony Iommi said, you know, when they'd be writing, he'd be outside playing football by himself or something. Mm-hmm. And he'd come back in and be like, oh, what are we doing? And he's like, sing this. Yeah. But still, I mean, that voice.
Uh-huh.
So, oh, wait. Shit. Danzig. All right. Danzig is off. Okay, Danzig. I love Danzig.
All right, so who's going to go out if we put Danzig in? You moving Bowie to the side to put Danzig in if it were metal?
Yeah, okay. Let's go with that. But I do love David Bowie.
Okay. All right, so now how about live shows? What was like your first real live show?
My dad took me to Eric Clapton, Steve Winwood.
Wow, that's a good first show.
Yeah. I remember specifically that the... whatever the hell was going on with the set, I don't know, it looked, me and my dad were like, what the hell is that? Because it just looked like they found some stuff backstage and then put it behind them. But I remember that was a good show. My dad took me to see Van Halen too, and Cool and the Gang mm-hmm. opened up for him, which I thought was odd.
That was a 2012 tour. Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, did you see that?
I was at the one in Nashville. I probably wasn't at the one you were at.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
How many times did David Lee Roth change his outfit that night? 20? 23?
I love Van Halen, and I think that's a pretty strong album. I was a little, you know, fussy because they didn't have Michael Anthony in the band.
Oh, my dad would agree with you on that, yeah. For sure.
But it was a good album, a really good album, but Dave was a little different. You know, he
yeah.
thought that sliding around and all that stuff. But, you know, whatever, man. It is what it is. I had a good time. It was a fun show. We had great seats, and I didn't pay for it, so.
Just realized,
uh-huh.
Circle Jerks is one of my favorite bands, too.
Okay, so what's going to happen is when you leave tonight,
yep.
you guys are driving home.
I'm going to be like,
oh, shit!
Well, no, I'm pretty comfortable. Danzig and the Circle Jerks were supposed to, you know, I'd substitute Vicious Rumors for Circle Jerks. I'm sorry, but I've even just realized the Circle Jerks, not very recently, but, mm-hmm. you know, fairly recently. I love Keith Morris mm-hmm. and just about everything that he says.
So they're kind of a newer band for you as far as a band that you're into.
I more recently have gotten into, like, I always wanted to listen to more older punk,
mm-hmm.
but every time I'd look it up, I'd just get some shit, or it'd be like, the Sex Pistols, which, you know, they're all right, but it's like, I hate when people are like, oh, you like punk, like, you know, Green Day and Sex Pistols. It's like, do you know anything besides that?
I'm not a Sex Pistols fan at all.
I did. I liked them when I was, like, I remember when I first met her and we were talking about the Sex Pistols. And, you know, I still like some of their stuff, but, mm-hmm. you know, now that I know all this other punk, and he was into punk, I think that's...
She's pointing to Aaron.
Yes. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, Aaron was into punk long before I was, but I was... I'm backwards evolving, I guess? I don't know. It was like thrash for me, and then after that I went into everything else, and it seems like just more recently it's been, you know, old hardcore punk.
Yeah. Okay. So concerts, we talked about that. You say Eric Clapton was your first concert. What's the best concert you've been to? Like, you were like, holy shit, that was it.
Carcass. Love Carcass.
Yeah.
Yes. That was, they, I know it, there's big shoes to fill with Ken Owen on drums,
mm-hmm.
but Dan Wilding did a pretty decent job.
Where did you see them?
As Mercury Ballroom, wasn't it? We saw them twice.
Okay.
So it was Mercury Ballroom, was it both times? Which was the other one?
Oh, 4th Street Live up in Louisville. Oh, the club. Oh, was it 3rd Street Dive?
All right, huh. So you get the gist.
Yeah.
All right.
It was somewhere up in Louisville. Yeah.
Yes.
Other
but,
than the Mercury Ballroom.
The first time we actually, Bill Steer was standing off to the side.
Uh-huh.
The first time we saw afterwards, and our friend Alex, I'm not sure what his last name actually is, Grim, who's been in a number of Louisville bands.
Mm-hmm.
Good guitarist, good guy.
Mm-hmm.
He was there, and he was like, it's Bill Steer. And I was mm-hmm. like, holy shit, Bill Steer.
Mm-hmm.
And I get real shy, and Aaron is a normal human being, mm-hmm. and he went up and talked to Bill Steer about, was it Hawkwing, his other band? What is it called?
Firebird.
I don't know what the hell.
I guess all this led up to the fanzine.
Definitely, and one of the main reasons I did it was because back... I forget what exactly I was looking at, but I came across Metal Forces, old Metal Forces issues.
Yeah, those are those were great. They did a lot of tape trading and stuff like that.
I thought that was great. In the back, they had a whole section for tape trading, pen pals, and they had up-and-coming bands. They gave everybody a chance.
Yep.
And it was such a wide variety of bands. Like, they even had the Circle Jerks in there. And I was looking, and I was like, why the hell didn't I read this before? But, It was, I think it was with Greg Hitson, and he was in Bad Religion. Mm-hmm. But those magazines, I think, were the reason I wanted to do that, because I just love getting to know who made the music that I love. And when, you know, usually you have like interests if you like similar music. And I just thought that was the best thing ever, to get to know, you know, who makes the music that you love.
Sure.
And I figured that I wanted to do that someday, and I thought I never would, but, you know, I never thought it'd be as easy as, hey, you want to do an interview? And then,
I'm probably, especially a lot of newer bands, because I guess they're really looking for anything, any exposure, so probably newer bands are really easy to get a hold of. Who is the biggest act that you've had an opportunity to either speak to in person or via telephone, email, fill in the blank, whatever?
I guess notoriety-wise, Viking, I guess. Yeah. I would say that got going by, excuse me, I originally did a blog because I didn't have, you know, the means to make the physical fanzine. Mm-hmm. So I had all these interviews because I had tried to do it before and it didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, for years I just sat there and I was thinking, like, I wish I could get them out there somehow. And I put them on a blog, and going by views on, you know, which one was viewed the most, the interviews was Viking. And I guess it was with Ron Daniel. And we went and saw them with our friend's band from Virginia, Possessor. And they were fairly well-known thrash band from Virginia, like I said. But they were very good. Now they are, our two members have formed Carriage, and they were in issue one of my fanzine. But yeah. Yep, that was, got off track, forgot what I was talking about.
It's all good. It's all good. But what I'm curious is how did this all come together? You wanted to, you explained how you know, I want to do this. This is an idea I have. How are you able to actually put that in motion?
Well, I knew I needed, well, first I looked at prices of actual printing places, and I was like, well, either I could take out a loan, or I could get my own printer and use what I've got. So I got a program to use to make, you know, the layout for the fanzine and everything, and I used that, and then I've got a laser printer. And I think it's like a little bit of a workforce, I guess, so it's made for commercial use. So I use that, and then I've got a color printer for the... I usually just make the cover color, because if I did the whole thing, then I would be...
Quite pricey.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not in the black here with the fanzine. I do it because I love it. Yeah. But obviously, it's not like I'm going to be living off that. But, you know, I would be way more in the red if it were in color, which a lot of... I've gotten some complaints, like, oh, why isn't this in color?
So send me money and we'll do that.
Yeah, I know. It's like, well, if you've ever tried to do anything like that, then you know why I'm not doing it in color.
Just tell them, say, you know, I did it like that on purpose, so you can go back and color in what color you want the shirt that guy's wearing. That's a combination thing. You read it, enjoy it, and then you go back, and it's a fun thing. Yeah.
And then you could send it back to me, and I'll make copies and send it to everybody.
That's right. So this is a completely do-it-yourself project. You do the interviews yourself. You do the layouts yourself on the computer at the house. You print. Do you print them all there at your house?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't take them to, like, Kinko's? You do it all right there at the house?
Yep.
Okay, let's go ahead and throw out where they can get some info on the fanzine.
ThrashDanceFanzine.BigCartel.com is where you could get them, and it's $5 a fanzine, and they come with free stickers and flyers from Inferno Records, who I think did a bulk order, and you get them at Inferno Records, and you could get them at... there's a record company in Germany. I feel bad. That guy was real nice, but I forget what... the place was called.
This the real nice guy in Germany.
Yeah. That's I don't think that's the name of the record label, but
that's
yes.
That's the people that know him call him.
Yeah.
Yeah, the real nice guy in Germany. So some folks have actually been interested enough that they've bought a bulk, as you say, and they are selling them, well, I guess, you've already made your money, I guess, up front, right?
Yes. And okay. then I just, I think they're available at somewhere in Portland at a record store from the guy from Glacier. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he's got them. And then Ian Chains from Cauldron has a store, Stained Class nice. Records.
Yeah.
And I think him and Daniel Decay from Diamonds run it now. I'm not sure. I think it's a rotating staff.
Yeah.
But he's got them there, and you get them through me directly, of course, at the Big Cartel store. There's mm-hmm. even a bundle deal,
mm-hmm.
two issues for $8, and they're usually five apiece, so that's a deal.
So some stuff's really happening with that fanzine.
And issue three will be out by Halloween.
Okay, so I was going to ask you that next. Is it a monthly thing, a bi-monthly thing, or whenever the hell I get it done thing?
Pretty much. I just wanted it out by Halloween. It's Halloween.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's that's why I'm hesitant to do the subscription, because everybody's saying, you know, how could I get a subscription? But, you know, I think Aaron's going to help me out with something about Patreon. I feel like an old codger. I don't know how to use that.
Uh-huh.
I don't care. I don't want to be, because I went to try and it was like, you got to put in your information, you got to make a video. I was like, I don't care. I just want to do my thing and leave.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's pretty much whenever they'll feel yeah. like it. What? And whenever I've got material, because I've got the next issue lined up,
mm-hmm.
and I could safely say the bands, if that's okay, that are going to be in that issue. It's going to be Soul Grinder from Portland, Oregon, and then there's going to be Bewitcher as well from mm-hmm. Portland, and then there's going to be Wraith from, I forget where they're from, sorry guys, but they're really good. I really enjoy them. They're kind of in the vein of Bewitcher, and they're kind of blackened thrash metal.
Mm-hmm.
Very good stuff, very straightforward and to the point. No BS, no, you know, we're putting on a show for you. Come out and see, you know, it's
right.
just music, and so is Soul Grinder. And April is the lead singer and bassist of that band, and she puts on a get-up that's really cool, but, you know, she does that because she loves it. That's not one of the things that I'm trying to say, like...
No, you were talking about a while ago.
Yes, yeah. yes.
She's just putting a little extra into her performance.
Yeah, and that's just who she is, and
yeah.
she's a very nice
yeah.
person, very talented.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I've got Ice War for issue 5 so far.
Okay.
And they are from Canada.
All right, so let's back up. Blood Curse, websites for Blood Curse, album out, you're hoping, by Halloween, and will be available, did you say CD, cassette, and download, is that right?
Not all at once. First it'll be download, and
gotcha.
Then after that will be the other formats.
Okay. How many songs will that be?
Eight.
Oh, it's going to be just over, so not an EP, a full-on album.
Yes. Facebook.com/YouveBeenCursed.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go to bloodcurse.bandcamp.com to get our demo where I sound like butt. And the album, I will sound less like butt, I promise.
Okay, so less like butt on the new stuff.
Yes.
That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah.
Good. All right, so everybody listening here, as far as local music, Blood Curse from Caneyville, Kentucky, they've been through Bowling Green once. We're hoping they come back. And once the music is released, we're hoping to get a couple tracks spinning during my show, the Afternoon Rock Show, because I like this band, and I would like to do what I can to try to help out. And the fanzine, I think I have both issues. You guys were kind enough to hook me up with that, and I appreciate that.
You're most welcome.
It's very, very well put together. It's really nice.
Thank you.
So everybody check that out. If you want some old school metal in your life, this is kind of cool because this is the real deal. It's in your hand. Somebody put the blood, sweat, and tears into it. It's for real. So check out her Thrash Dance fanzine for that. Now, one last question. If somebody's listening right now and they're not really into metal, but they're going, you know, this heavy metal thing, I've been hearing about this for years. Maybe I should go buy a heavy metal record and kind of see what this is all about. What record would you say go get?
One?
Okay, how many ever you come up with?
Okay, because more recently, our friend Bethany Gross, her birthday came up, and she's 18, and she likes, I'm not sure the amount of metal she likes, but she likes a little bit of metal. She mm-hmm. really likes Black Sabbath. So, for her birthday, I got her more Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
which I think is essential for any evolving
sure.
person that loves heavier music,
uh-huh.
Sabbath, Metallica. I was going to get, I had this huge stack. I was like, I gotta shave this down a little bit. She's gonna think I'm psycho, like, listen to this. But, Sabbath, Metallica, I guess Megadeth. I'm not a fan of Megadeth now.
Kind of the essentials.
Yes.
Why are you not a Megadeth fan now?
Old Megadeth, of course. Okay. But, he needs to sit down.
What's the cutoff for the Megadeth?
Cryptic Writings.
That's it.
Yep.
That back is good. That forward, no thanks.
Nope. You keep it.
Okay. So you're saying some Megadeth, some Metallica, some Black Sabbath. Anything in those will be good for someone.
Judas Priest. You gotta.
Okay. All right.
Yes. And Danzig. All right. Danzig, Samhain, Misfits. Yep.
Do you have anything that you would like to say to wrap up this little podcast here? Anything to the listeners? Like, if you have people listening maybe out of town, people who are a fan of the band, anything about metal, anything at all, it's all yours.
Well, first off, real quick, I would like to know about when you met Wendy Williams.
How do you know that?
Remember? No, you probably don't, because it was for like 5 seconds and it was a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
We came to pick up some stuff.
Wow, and I mentioned that in a couple of seconds?
I forget why Aaron mentioned it. I think I was waiting and I had my Rest in Peace shirt on, and I think you said, wear that shirt a lot or something. I was like, okay, I usually do. But and then he said something like, I forget how Wendy Williams came up, but he was like, oh, she loves Wendy Williams, and you're like, oh, it was nice to meet her once. And I was thinking, like, you met Wendy Williams?
Yeah. Okay, so I'll tell you real quick. Okay, back in 1983, February 1983, the Plasmatics were opening for Kiss on their particular tour. And the radio station that I used to listen to in Little Rock was called Magic 105, and they were just, you know, kind of like us, just a kind of a classic rock, and have interviews and, you know, stuff like that. So one night, Wendy came down for an interview, and they were interviewing her on the air. And I was sitting at the house, like, all, you know, because I liked Plasmatics, and of course, I was a huge Kiss fan. And so I actually have a recording of that interview. I'm not on that interview, but I have a recording of it. So I like hit record, and then my buddy's like, dude, we should go down there. And so we jumped in the car, and we drove down to the radio station. About when we got there, she was coming out. And so she was standing there.
I don't know what I would have done.
I was pretty young. I was like, I don't know, 14, 15, something like that. But we just talked to her for a second, and yeah, this is before everybody had a camera and this is before I ever thought about, hey, let me get an autograph. This is just, hey, let's go down there. Okay. And so we get down there, and, you know, they're coming out, and we talk to her for a minute, and she kisses me on the cheek, and she gets in the car.
She was such a nice lady.
She was super cool. Yeah.
Yes.
But that's all it was. It was just a...
That's awesome, though. I wish I...
We probably spent 3 or 4 minutes with her total. And I remember, because, like I said, I've got the interview that night. From that, they were giving away a TV set. And what it was, they were taking a caller, and whoever the, like, third caller or whatever, you know... And,
did she smash it? I hope.
Well, that was the deal.
She went
to his house and smashed the TV.
That's great.
She didn't do it that night. They, like, scheduled it for, like, the next day or something.
If only she'd had a wall of TV, she could have drove a bus through.
Yeah. So that was the deal. The guy called up, and, I think it was a Sony Trinitron, whatever that is. Because I remember, because, like I said, I've got the interview.
Yeah.
And so that's the deal. She was supposed to go to his house, smash his TV, and he got the new Sony Trinitron. That was the deal. But I've actually got that. I'll get you a copy of that interview.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So well, thank you.
You can hear that. Yeah. But that was Magic 105 KMJX Conway Little Rock. I remember their tagline back in, I'm going to say February 83. But there.
That's awesome. And my closing words would be, thanks so much for having me on and being interested in what I'm doing and what we're doing with the band. And, you know, I appreciate anybody out there that if, you know, they like the band or the fanzine. I appreciate everybody's support and love for metal.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Olivia, thank you so much for coming by today.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.
And Aaron back there behind me. Thanks for coming down with her.
Thanks for bringing me, bud.
Yeah. Everybody check out Blood Curse, and hopefully before too much longer, we'll have some music from them, and hopefully we'll get them back in Bowling Green. That wraps up today's little adventure, Olivia. That's it.
All righty. Thank you.
Okay, bye.